Welcome to Federal Insights for February, part of the Digital Modernization Series discussing automation, sponsored by GDIT.
One nonpartisan activity that continues from administration to administration, it's the modernization of agency information technology. The drive for greater efficiency and better service never stops. For a review of what's been happening over the last 4 years, we turn to former Homeland Security Chief Information Officer and former e-government administrator for the White House, Karen Evans. And you have a long history here in looking at and overseeing and working on federal technology issues, even before the Homeland Security Department currently. Give us your overall view of how modernization has kind of advanced over the years, because every administration deals with modernizing because it's really more of a continuous activity, I think, than it is something you stop and do periodically.
So I agree with that, Tom, that it's a continuous activity. And so giving my history and then coming on board at DHS in the middle of the pandemic, it really gave true meaning to what did the CIO community really mean by network modernization. What did it really mean and have tangible results about cloud first and all of the different types of things that you were doing, data center consolidation, you know, how all these different initiatives worked. It's probably the first time I've ever come into a chief information officer's job where people were thanking you for your staff and the staff's work that they did, because the way that that happened, DHS pivoted and could take the workforce remote and go into a virtual working environment and never miss a beat and continue to provide the mission for DHS.
Having been the CIO recently of DHS, and I think earlier before going to the White House a number of years ago, you were CIO at the Energy Department, if I recall. How has the role of CIO changed? Maybe that's worth exploring as it relates to modernization.
And that's another great question, because you're right. I was the CIO at DOE when they elevated that position to a direct report to the secretary, then had the opportunity to go on to the administration and look at, in essence, now the CIO for the federal government as a whole, and then come back in to DHS. The role of the CIO really is now at the maturity of what I think everybody had hoped or envisioned it could be, as the strategic advisor, really looking at it as a risk management officer, really analyzing the mission of the department and how do you infuse new technologies while you're looking at all the risks across the board. So I'll give you a great example. And when I was at DOE initially, that's like in 2002, right after September 11th, you're really looking at like information technology systems. Through the evolution of this, you know, you're really looking at everything now, because every component, every type of thing that anybody wants to use, like industrial Internet of Things, there is no real perimeter that those traditional types of security models work around anymore from an information security perspective. So there is this, and we have really embraced it, or we really did embrace it at DHS, was really looking at technology, not distinguishing between information technology and operational technology, but looking at how is technology strategically used in the department.
And give us a review of some of the modernizing efforts that you witnessed or had a hand in the last couple of years at DHS.
Well, one thing that was really exciting, because based again on my history, really working with DHS when it was standing up, and for example, looking at the lines of business, because I had a partner with the lines of business folks at DHS, and that truly is a great partnership. And so I, commend the undersecretary, the deputy undersecretary for management, of how he creates this environment for a team environment with all the lines of business. But one major accomplishment is dealing with the financial management system. And so one of the biggest things that happened during my tenure was bringing up the Transportation Security Agency on a modernized financial management system. I mean, that was so exciting, like watching all the different iterations conversations of how to get a modernized financial management system with the components. So that occurred in partnership with the CFO's office. The other thing to watch that's on the horizon is the DHS Cybersecurity Service, or what we call CTMS, right? The Cybersecurity Talent Management System. So that's doing that jointly with the Chief Human Capital Officer, but that's going to be a new and innovative way outside of what we call Title V, but it's Title VI authorities to recruit cybersecurity personnel throughout the department. And so that is going to be really exciting, and that's on the horizon. So I'm giving a big plug for that, because we will be competitive with private industry with that one.
And so you turn that information over to the transition teams, and hopefully they'll pursue that one.
Well, actually, they will, because it's in statute, and it's near and dear to everyone in the department. And the Chico is a big champion of that, and everyone is a partner in that. All, you know, CISA is, all the CIOs throughout the department. And so I have no doubt that the incoming administration will also see the value of being competitive with private industry and getting the right people in for cybersecurity jobs here at the department.
And the TSA financial management system is also a good example, because here TSA is constantly evolving and deploying new technologies for its mission, screening and so forth, and that's come light years since when they got stood up right after 9/11. And yet they have an ancient financial system that is now being modernized and is modernized. And so you need that back office function, that line of business, to better support what's happening externally on the mission.
Exactly. And it gives you transparency into that financial information, so that when they're having these discussions with the Office of Management and Budget and with their appropriators, you have good financial information that's going to allow you to make those decisions and those investments going forward, especially in the technology area for the screening.
Karen Evans is former CIO of the Homeland Security Department. We'll continue with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
We depend on IT every day to connect. This requires technology and practices that are constantly evolving to overcome changing demands. General Dynamics Information Technology accelerates the modernization of legacy IT environments and deploys advanced digital ecosystems, automation, managed services, software-defined networking, 5G IT infrastructure. GDIT modernizes the entire IT enterprise to power agency missions. GDIT, accelerate the power of modernization. Learn more at federalnewsnetwork.com, search digital modernization.
Welcome back to our interview with Karen Evans, the former CIO of the Homeland Security Department and former White House e-government administrator. Our topic is IT modernization. And in prioritizing what to modernize and choosing what to do next in terms of updating systems and reworking systems, how does that decision get made? Are the things that should be next on the list manifest to everybody, or is there a process for prioritizing?
Well, there's a process. And so this goes back to the question about how has the role of the Chief Information Officer changed, or how has it continued to mature, is probably the better way to look at it. So it is a partnership within DHS. And the component CIOs are empowered. And one of the things that we were working on as I was leaving was really developing these segment architectures associated with zero trust, given what was happening in the cybersecurity landscape. Also, as you look at it across the board with both private industry and public sector, is really saying, how do you modernize that? And it's about the infrastructure, and then it cascades down, but it's based on the risk profile, right? And so then when you start looking at mission-specific types of activities based on the risk profile of what's the risk tolerance of the department, then the priorities cascade down from there. But the other part, which I was really excited about, is when I left government the first time, especially at DHS, a lot of the focus was on budget and planning. And when I came in, you know, a lot of the focus now is on execution, right? And making sure that the planning activities really could execute out. And so what I had the opportunity to do is close that loop, see where there were some gaps so that you could actually get the budget process refocused back. So as they're doing planning and execution, any kind of gaps that you would see in the roadmap, you could then get back into the planning cycle. And so there is a maturity at Department of Homeland Security, really looking through the entire life cycle of the investment and being able to see where the gaps are, doing a health assessment. And the oversight within DHS has evolved, I would say, way beyond some of the existing policies that are still there. So it's an opportunity for the next administration to be able to take a look at the business practices at DHS and maybe modify some of the policies.
And you've emphasized the importance of cybersecurity updates and zero trust in the architecture as a major criterion for what it is that you decide to modernize. But there's also the functionality of the system and the need for, in some cases, digital services, whether externally aimed or internally aimed. And then there's also the cost of running systems, which is a factor. So do they all go into the balancing act of this is the one we're going to go after next? Function, cost, and cyber.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so the other thing that is really unique, I thought about DHS when I was in there, is DHS has its own staff of digital service, USDS staff, that are within the CIO shop. And so it was a great opportunity to work jointly with that office, because they work on what are the mission specific things for the department, but marrying it up with the administration's priorities and then maturing how that integration works so that you can ensure that as they're going through and having the ability to be able to identify other areas, like what you're saying, are externally focused so that you can get the citizen experience modernized while the rest of the updates are happening. And being able to do that. So one of the things that we worked on and will be presented as a transition item going forward is an accelerator program. So it's the digital services can identify certain things that are of importance, but it'll have like an incubator, like a funding stream associated with it, so that you don't have to take money, like you're saying, from a legacy system or something else like that. Like those things are then all aligned, but that you have an incubator that allows you to be able to jumpstart some of the citizen facing pieces. So think of it as like the ECA fund within Department of Homeland Security that lets you jumpstart that, but it allows for that flexibility to adapt to some of the stringent budget processes that the department has to adhere to.
And looking at it from a different angle, you mentioned the development group that's within DHS, the Digital Services Group. And I guess DHS is certainly big enough and has enough opportunities to maintain a group like that within its own walls. But what about the program and mission owners? How do you bring them into the process? Because they're the ones that have to live with what it is that everyone comes up with to underpin their systems,
missions. Totally integrated. Yeah, and so I get what you're saying. And so what happens is the way that the Digital Services Group is working within DHS, so think of it as a jumpstart to the existing team, right? So they're paired up with the CIO group. So it helps with the CIO group, because the biggest thing that you want to make sure is when they finish that one piece to teach them, you know, oh, here's the innovation, or here are things that are available, that there's a pathway in order to sustain what is being developed and that it gets integrated into the regular operations of the department. And so there's several of these initiatives that were being worked on as I was leaving. For example, the specific one is dealing with contact tracing and vaccination distribution as it relates to the workforce, demonstrating some artificial intelligence, right? So that the Digital Service Group is facilitating, think of them as change management, because they know of all the capabilities that are out there, right? And so they're leading the internal group about the art of the possible to be able to demonstrate, hey, here's the technologies, here's the placement, here's the way you can do what if analysis to be able to switch things around. And so they were working on that pretty far, but jointly, right, with all the U.S. Digital Service Groups across the federal government, because the way the vaccination distribution's working is coming out of VA, right? You have HHS. So there's digital service guys all in these different departments. And so what ends up happening is that integration for what is Homeland Security specific, because part of the distribution happens with FEMA, right? So it is being able, they end up kind of like going between the scenes of the departments and being able to knit that together to get the initial piece that you need out. And then the rest of the infrastructure then gets built out to support it on an ongoing basis in conjunction with the CIOs.
So that sounds like, if I'm reading between the lines, a little bit of agility has to come into this in terms of approach.
Exactly. And that, when you asked about some of the other changes that had happened in the departments, most CIOs across the components within DHS have that agility piece. You know, that was another buzzword that everybody was talking about, agile development with, you know, cloud migration and network modernization. But what you are really seeing is the fruits of that foundation through the years that everybody has built upon to be able to deliver these services.
Karen Evans is former CIO of the Homeland Security Department. We'll return with the third and final segment of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
We depend on IT every day to connect. This requires technology and practices that are constantly evolving to overcome changing demands. General Dynamics Information Technology accelerates the modernization of legacy IT environments and deploys advanced digital ecosystems, automation, managed services, software-defined networking, 5G IT infrastructure. GDIT modernizes the entire IT enterprise to power agency missions. GDIT, accelerate the power of modernization. Learn more at federalnewsnetwork.com, search digital modernization.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of our interview with Karen Evans, the former CIO of the Homeland Security Department and former White House e-government administrator. We've been discussing the ongoing process of IT modernization. And when you have decided and there's a team involved and this is what our project is going to be, what's the process by which you choose the specific technological approach that will be taken? Because there's a million ways to skin a given cat.
Well, this is where, during my tenure, I really relied on the leadership of the executive director from the U.S. Digital Services. You know, like, here is where we plan our architecture to go. You know what the infrastructure is. This is where the architecture, and we were doing segment architectures to accelerate this. And then based on that, the executive director works really closely with our chief technology officers group, who was working on the architecture. So those recommendations, knowing what's there, comes from that group going forward. So it's not like, oh, you know, I'm going to pick a specific thing, but it's based on capability, and then they look at it based on what you're trying to get to from a target perspective for the department overall.
Because sometimes people may argue over this language or that language that it's going to be developed in and so on. And at some point, somebody has to say, this is what we're going to do technically.
Well, see, I hear you saying that, and that's why the segment architectures, when I came in, we really accelerated that, the zero-based trust architecture. So there's an enterprise piece and a biometrics piece that we were looking at, that we were accelerating those particular pieces, because I hear what you're saying, you know, about, oh, you get down to a certain level, but if the target architecture is there and people know that that's what you're moving toward, some of those decisions, they naturally fall out because they'll fit into the outcome that you're trying to get to. So I hear what you're saying, but that was why we accelerated that, so that we didn't necessarily have to have that argument, but it was more about, you know, what is the risk posture? How much tolerance do we want to have? And what should the target look like?
Well, do the applications and the individual projects for a mission at a TSA or a FEMA affect the department-wide network architecture? Or does the network architecture and the goals there affect how projects and applications are done at the component level? Or is it a back and forth?
I would say it's a back and forth right now, right? Because of the segment architectures are maturing and they're being rolled out, obviously segment by segment, right? And then there are some things that were underway based on the cybersecurity landscape that we had. So this many pieces that were pilots or initiatives that were started because of being more in a virtual environment that the landscape had switched were accelerated. So I'll give you a great example. We were in the process of doing all these consolidations, assessments of Security Operations Center, and starting to stand up what we were calling the Network Operations Security Center. Given the cybersecurity incidents that were happening, that launched and accelerated and became real time a lot faster than I think all of us had anticipated. And then the moving of the continuous diagnostics and mitigation pieces were accelerated because they went real time into the NOSC as we were mitigating and remediating all of the things associated with what was happening in the department.
Yeah, so you really built a hybrid structure of NOC and SOC.
Well, to me, when I got here and looking at the analysis that was already done, that is the next evolution of how security services and network operations services really should be delivered, because you can't have one without the other and you have to have these people integrated. So if you think of it, I'm going to go back to like a hospital type of analogy. It's an emergency room. You know, your first tier responders are looking at how do I triage this, but it has to go then into long-term care, right? Where the long-term persistent hunt threat folks and analysts are looking at things in the long term in the third tier, right? But you can't stop all the operations. So you have to have all of that integrated while you're trying to triage and understand really what is the risk to the enterprise.
Sure. And you've described a lot of processes of development and of network architecture development, applications and so forth, and it comes across the boundaries that exist within the department. How does all this map to the hurdle that everyone always talks about getting over, and that is the ATO, the authority to operate? How does that get affected?
Well, during my tenure, we were also really looking at, and that's also got accelerated as we were going forward, especially as we were taking a look at this combination and ensuring of the NOSC capabilities, is really looking at FISMA boundaries and what does it mean. As you know, I have a long history. I call myself the grandmother of FISMA, and there were a lot of unintended consequences that got associated with what you're talking about, the ATOs and where those boundaries are. And so that also got accelerated because it doesn't really make sense for some of these small apps that are being developed, right? Because now think about everything that we can do. You got SecDevOps and all these other different capabilities as you're going forward, that you're running a full ATO process for each little piece. And so what we were working on, and what I know they'll continue to do because it makes more sense with the architecture and then the way this is that there are bigger FISMA boundaries, like for the enterprise, for the cloud operations, and that some of these apps end up being the delta. And so it's that relying on the security controls for the big ATO, and then you're just securing, or you're just authorizing the delta in order to be able to run in that environment. But again, that gets back to a lot of the streamlining, what you're saying, and what we've talked about is that streamlining of what is that segment target architecture so that you know what the boundary is, and then you can do your ATO on that delta. So that was being streamlined, and that's being accelerated for sure.
Karen Evans, the former CIO of the Homeland Security Department and former White House e-government administrator. To hear this interview in its entirety or to share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for February, part of the Digital Modernization Series discussing automation, sponsored by GDIT on Federal News Network.